social development in the Northwest. So she will answer you with questions from the Northwest, basically electricity and all that. So be ready to take the fight. Let me welcome Honorable Gamere as well, all the way from KZN. Honorable Gamere, welcome. And also congratulations on Canada has accepted the credit amnesty bill. It's going to be going to go through these houses irrespective of government. And we will give hope to millions of South Africans. Also to Honorable Moody, all the way from Free State. Welcome. He didn't bring some coke, but welcome Honorable Kuni. Next to him is Honorable Bihari from Kapoko. He's fighting the extra rate there. And she's succeeding in the task in keeping them. But welcome Honorable Bihari. Honorable Berlinen from Free State. Ah. From the Eastern Cape, oh yeah, from the
Eastern
Cape. All the way from the Eastern Cape, welcome Honorable Abrams from Gauteng. Welcome Honorable Abrams. I got a message that you will be late, but I see you on time. So you've taken the laptop off left, so you can't get out anymore. But welcome Honorable Sinclair from Northern Cape. Kurana, I don't know from Holmesburg in the Northern Cape, and Kimberly, welcome, and then to the staff members, welcome. Doctor, we have called you today to come and pick us on the island program, first of all. Apologies from the minister, and the deputy minister, and the director general. So all three of them has contacted me, the minister and deputy minister is in cabinet. There is extended cabinet today, taking place today, tomorrow, as present. So the director general is abroad. Yeah, she's abroad yesterday. Yeah, she's abroad, so her apologies are accepted. They would have dearly loved to be here, Honorable family, but they ask that we either ship the meeting or accept the apology. I said, no, you accept the apology and go on with the meeting, as we have very few sitting days left or meeting days left in this calendar year. So, Dr. Bana, DDG, we can convey to them that the apologies have been accepted by the meeting. And, colleagues, you know, Dr. Bana is no stranger to this committee. He's one of the officials that the committee loves. I saw when Honorable Van Lingen came in and she saw Dr. Bana's face, he immediately went in and nearly hugged him to the ground, spear tackled him. Doctor, we value your input. It's always a good sign. Also to the FSC, welcome Henry, Mr. Ekin, from the FSC. They were on Morning Live, or they were much talked about the FSC on Morning Live this morning. And so some people were asked, what is the FSC? And Leanne Manis was giving a course explanation of the role and work of the FSC. So someone was, you know, these captains below, says that it's not only a good face, but also a very sharp brain as well. So welcome, Mr. Ekstein. Please enjoy this meeting with us. And Doctor, I want to give over to you. Welcome, Mr. Erasmus. You know, that's the main man. He's the man of logistics. If you mess with him, you'll sleep on the airport bench. You'll sleep on the airport bench, or you'll miss your flight, or you'll sleep in Alexandria. Or it's one of the two.
Objection to Alexandria.
No, I'm just saying, those of you people who don't know the area, you come from that area, you know it, we don't know it. Or you sleep at our Tambu station, our Tambu airport, on the benches. If you miss the Mr. Erasmus. Doctor, over to you.
Roger, members, thanks, it's always good to be here. Right now the department is in a state of really repositioning ourselves. I mean, the time of the year, if you're not finishing off and on high speed, you're not going to complete finishing your business plan, stroke, strategic plan. So a lot of our activities is in high speed at the moment, hence why also the DD is also absent today. I just mentioned that the presentation officially was sent through late yesterday, and I apologize for that. It was due to the fact that the DG wasn't around, and we were trying to contact her that she can off campus approve it, but we couldn't succeed in it. Eventually, we asked the acting DG to assist with that, so that's why it was sent through late. I apologize for that. But the premise can actually get an indication that the members don't have prints, because we just have made some prints. They are on their way. There's some more prints on their way. Apologies for that, but they will be here in a minute. Thanks, sir, for the chair. The presentation, logically, is the last, it's been given there. I'm not going to dwell too long on that. I think what's important is the fact that, as a department, we are actually not only looking at connections, but it's more than that. We have to look after the broad-based outcomes of government. And interesting, if you take the FAFE program, we actually in five different outcomes being involved and reports into those outcomes. And the include also in the bottom of that is that the FAFE program also plays a critical role in various sub-programs. If you know that the PICC, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordination Committee, has 18 different special programs. Now those 18, we as education are intricately involved in four. So by taking that four SIP programs plus the five outcomes, you can just think in terms of the overall outcomes and reporting to government structure, the number of involvement that this program are involved with. So it takes quite a lot of time out of our daily operations on reporting. That's excluding the legal reporting that we have to do. We always say that we are involved in a lot of activities, and hence the figures have to be updated in the term daily. I think before we try to deal with what is happening in this financial year, Honourable Chair and members, we will just do a highlight of what has been happening in the last financial year that is great with you, Chair. So just in terms of where we're standing right now in terms of the education program, just under 5.7 million households have been electrified now under this program. I just have to stress that more than this has been electrified, but that's been done either by municipalities or by private entities. These 5.7 million households is under the government social INAP program. Those 5.7 million is broken down in the different provinces there, but also it's important that it's not all grid. There are also just over 68,000 households that have received non-grid PV systems over the last couple of years under this program. If you look last year under for the install program, divided among the different provinces, Chair, I see the focus on the screen isn't so well. I don't think it's my eyes, but something's on my screen is different than what's on the screen there. So, is your screen fine? in terms of the initial program, the breakdown is given here in terms of the different provinces. And then on the left hand, the second column is an indication of the amount of funds that have been made available for the various municipalities in the provinces, and then what was transferred of those amounts in the last financial year. And you will notice that basically all funds have been transferred that have been allocated in totality, and the total amount that have been allocated for municipalities.
Sorry, members, are you fine with the screens? I the focus on the issue. But I think we should proceed. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Then, just to recap for the initial program, all the funds that have been allocated have been transferred. There's also the middle column indicates what this amount has been spent at that point in time. You'll note that around 450 million have been spent of 1.15 billion. Now, just to note that remember the 90 year of these parties and the national financial years are different. So this is for April. I will show you later the slide where it shows up for the end of July. What is important that we have up to the end of April, which is then only 9 months into the financial cycle of utilities, got around 90,000 connections out of the 73,000 that's been done. But if you look at the total that was connected in that period, in the last financial period by these parties, which is over 50,000. The reason that is it's also in connections from rollovers from previous years, so that's just a summary for into the financial year. If you compare that with also ESCOM in their case, April to March, their financial cycle, so that is a full financial cycle. Again, the same old transfers have been made to them. Basically, 1.5 billion has been expenditure have been reported. There's a little bit that they still have to spend after that period. But what I just want to highlight is that in that specific financial period, 121,000 connections have been made. If we look at the solar and systems, that you'll find that plant connections were 13,300 and 9,300 were actually connected. The total amount that I've been spent was 58 million versus the allocated amount was 86 million. Around a difference of 28 million rands wasn't spent. Sure, that's due to the fact that the contract of these concessionaires have expired in the middle of this term, and we had internal procurement long-term process that took much longer than expected, and we had a dead period of 3 months which we couldn't implement because of the fact that the procurement process wasn't completed before the new contract was signed. So we have had discussions with these entities, and this financial year will pick up on those that we have lost in the previous year. If we highlight then the summary of the last year, then you'll find that just over 200,000 connections have been made. The target that was set was about 80,000, so we exceeded by 22,000 connections, which I think is to do with some very status. Glad to say that we approved the cooperation between ourselves, ESCOM and municipalities, also between ESCOM and municipalities, and that's important to mention that there's a lot of times where there's misunderstanding between the entities, and I think that's where the department was important representation around. But I think also important that we, as a department, that through INAP, have get much more operational involved to improve the efficiencies of the program. And just by the expression being the face of these implementers makes a tremendous difference in the efficiency you get out of the process. And I will come back to that a bit later. So we're very thankful for that delivery of last year, and we want to also honour the respective entities that assisted GE and government in this process. For this financial year, the total allocation that was received from the fiscus Dora was 3.5 billion rands, and it's divided in the different components with respect to municipalities. 1.3 billion, and then the total connections that is being planned out of that was just over 103,000. ESCOM 2.14 billion, and planned connection 157,800 connections. Non-grid 91 billion rand, and we plan to get 15,000 connections out of that. In total, to your honorable members, you will see that the plan for the funding of 1340 is 276,000 connections. You'll see that it's quite a steep increase from the previous financial years, even going back as long as 7-8 years ago. And that due to the fact that, as you remember last time, we reported we did say that we want to improve efficiencies, we want to improve the monitoring of our entities, and also improve cooperation between the entities. But also, on account of that, we also had various discussions with PICC and also National Treasury. I said, if we bring more connections to the table for what I've been budgeted for, we want to, with that, show our improved efficiency, but then on the back of that, we also want to have increased funding allocations. This year, we even then increased our allocation, which is very thankful for, Honourable Chair, that we have received an increase of around 400,000, a small 400 million rand, sorry, my colleague, 400 million rand increase in what was bargained for. So that's one of the reasons why we can then project higher connection rate for this financial year. That's what's coming with the challenges. It's one thing to have an increased budget, but it's another thing to deliver on that budget. So it means harder work, more in the faces of our entities. And in terms of plans, the connections that we plan overall for the whole country that's divided between ESCOM and municipalities, the double budget, as you said, is the previous, I said, 3.546. And you'll see, if you go to this slide 30, you'll see it's actually 3.775. Ask, why is the difference? And the difference is the fact that we got a once-off bulk infrastructure allocation from National Treasury of 320 million rands, which is allocated on the right-hand side, listed as added allocation. It's part of the distribution infrastructure improvement. And National Treasury allowed department to spend 350 million rands of the funds that were left over, to call it that way, from India Holdings entity. When they ceased to exist, closing off, there were just under 400 million rands left, of which 350 million came to us, and the rest went to MISA for their infrastructural assistance in municipalities. So we got 350 million, hence why that 3.775 billion around allocation. So, but still, we kept that separate because it's a once-off allocation, and hence the ESCOM municipal allocation has been made there and shown for various provinces to make up that total. If we then divide those three municipalities in ESCOM, again, dividing between the different municipalities, and then up to this year, July, which is actually the start of the first month of the financial cycle of municipalities, this reflects in the situation, and hence why only 26 million rand have been spent by municipalities, because only 1 month into the financial cycle. But I think it's important is that we have to make sure that to reach 86,000 connections out of this funding by municipalities is going to take quite an extensive effort. I can, however, mention that for the first month, a lot of connections came in via municipalities due to the previous year's allocations, and we already locked for that first month 19,000 connections because of the rollover of connections that haven't been captured in the previous financial cycle. For ESCOM, that was already after July this year. The performance of them is that 17,000, under 18,000 connections have been achieved for the first 3 months. But if you compare what was the allocations due to the fact that it was also, remember, in the previous slide, in the previous slide for 12:30, I indicated that there was an amount of money not being spent in the previous financial cycle that had been rolled over to this financial year, and those connections is now being captured here. So for the first 3 months, it's from the just over 31,567 connections. If we can look at the allocation in totality, taking just looking at the bulk, that infrastructure for electrification, there's nothing leading the ADEM, only through the electrification INF fund, a total of just over 520 million around has been allocated for bulk infrastructure. That's quite a substantial amount of funds that's been allocated, and the principle we apply there is that at least 70% of the bulk infrastructure need to be utilized for new INF connections. 30% of that infrastructure can be allowed for other municipal utilization, but it must be 70% for electrification, because it's very difficult to distinguish and network design, what if electrons going to flow through there, and that's only for implication, not much for other useful application. But in this case, that principle has been used just as a criteria. What this is showing, it's one thing to show the allocations, but what's happening on the ground. Last week we did some trips to KPN and vulnerable communities. So these are photos of hardware that is in demand of various ESCOM depots in the northern parts of KPN. On the left-hand side, you see transformers, the poles, and the anchors. So the stuff is on the ground, the rollout is really taking place. And to reach those targets that we set for this year, you need to run a smooth operation. That's why you also need to go and openly check in the end of the day, the final installed connection, also to see if the hardware is on the ground. And we have some proof of that, and this is, as I said, been taken last week, Thursday, at the Wednesday of last week, on the northern parts of Kazakhstan. Just quickly on the allocation, one sort of allocation, now there are 9 entities, 7 municipalities, 2 metros, that received allocation under certain criteria, 720 million, as divided among different amounts for different applications. And that is, this is Chair, what I mentioned, this is managed in a totally different manner than the INAP. This special committee that we appointed, the steering committee, that overlooked the allocations, the monitoring of these allocations. And it's not only a handout, and then they can just do it with what they want. On account of these allocations, they had to submit business plans, and on account of that also a monthly payment schedule, and funds are allocated and paid out according to that after each project is monitored. Doing this, we have found that we can actually increase tremendously the effectiveness of money being spent. If you just left for the entities without monitoring, firstly the consulting entities, engineering companies, it's just escalating some funds and scrutinizing even from the tender process up to the implementation, you can actually save a lot of money and you get much more value for your money by doing this way. So those only 320 million rands, we believe in terms of if it was just a normal allocation through tariffs, it would cost similarly around between 500 and 550 million rands for the same value we're getting up now, because we're just more focusing on the whole value chain of the implementation of these infrastructure implementation. I think it's one thing to talk about the figures, and it's good to see the number of connections that's been made, but I think it's also important that we need to look what is the socio-economic impact of this program. Chair, I think it's important that to also mention that under job creation, we have some very specific figures, but I must say we received some very specific figures from the various entities that do submit to us. We received from the strategies, if we're lucky, 30% from ESCOM, a different story, received the majority of their projects, what is jobs and creation. But the analysis we made is that between 800,000 and 1 million rand spent, you create one permanent job. Doesn't matter if it's on the side of the implementation or in terms of the manufacturing, but that's the value we gain for electrification funding, roughly. So we have some job creation figures, but I must say it is very difficult for us to verify some of those figures. Some of them is for us not kosher, so and for us to verify, I must say, it's a really difficult asset. We are busy with processes within the department to evaluate these jobs, but I'm hesitant to give a figure. We have figured just over 5,800 jobs that we create, but I can with honesty not assign that all to say that all that is really linked to reputation. But the long and short of it is that between 800 and 1 million rand spent per annum is giving us 1% job. I think it's also important that the program is not about the fact that we have been planning and implementing and monitoring. We also spend a lot of our time on the training. And I think it's important that just to take note that the last 5 years, over 700 interns have been benefited through the IDE program, either being in the offices or being seconded to our implementers, most municipalities. We did a lot of engineers have been did the intern training through this program, and I can also report that all of them, before they finish their 1 year internship, they are normally employed by the specific municipality or neighboring municipality. None of them are without work. I can also be very proud Monday this week, yesterday, when a new employee was welcomed, and I welcomed him in my office, and he then said to me, "Sir, I shouldn't thank you because I'm one of the interns that you trained in Nelson Mandela a few years ago, and I'm now qualified, and I applied for a job at INAP, and he's now being appointed within INAP." Not realizing at that point in time that they will complete the full circle. I think in terms of the community development programs, the poverty innovation, and access to basic services, this year, last year, did something that I think was long overdue, is that we also did a survey on what does community access means to communities, specifically in terms of the initial part of the sector. And it's important, Chair, to, and I want to also ask the committee to look on our website and then just to find this survey. It's actually a very, very enlightening and eye-opener in terms of what I've been found. We did all the very socio-economic studies on an application and published that, and I just want to show some specific highlights of this study. There's a lot of data being contained now, trying to reflect all of that. But it's just so interesting that how we, our communities are utilizing electricity in the country. If you look at a graph there, and it's straight from that report, if you look at a second pillar on the candles, the green pillar is the number of percentage-wise of households that are still using, which has been electrified, but still using candles. So the brown pillar is for unelectrified households, and that is 7% of all unelectrified households are using candles for light. Lighting the purpose. But it's interesting, still 42% of the electrified households are still using candles. Now, I don't want to indicate that one time that the tree is off, but it's interesting that communities are still using candles. And alternative sources for utilizing that still while they're electrified. We'll come back to that now, why we think that is. Immunotherapy. Interesting enough that 31% of all households that have been electrified are still using paraffin in some sort of manner. Firewood, 27% of households still use firewood which have access to electricity. Now, there can be various reasoning for that being, but if we go to the section in the report that's dealing with the poverty, energy poverty, we'll find that there's actually a huge percentage of households in the country that is energy poverty stricken, meaning that they have access to modern energy, but they don't have the financial means to sustain the utilization of it. It's been taken that you expect that the average household must use a spend not more between 10 and 15, maximum 15% of their disposable income on energy for the household application. And if you now compare that, and it's also divided in provinces, you will see that for the different provinces, in West Cape is around about 11% of their income is spent on energy. Compared to instance Mpumalanga and Limpopo and Gauteng, that 16% of the income is spent on energy needs for households. And that is also maybe one of the reasons why other energy carriers are used while they have access to electricity, that the electricity is expensive. So I think there is just some statistics, Chair. I didn't want to go deep, but I think it's a very interesting statistics to think that's what we want to plan to publish this each second year. Then to also give us an indication of where we're standing with our electrification. Because I think it's important, Chair, access to a service is one thing. And I think it's good that we're chasing figures. But we also have to be awakened to the fact that it's one thing to have access to a service, and it's another thing to utilize that service effectively, either in terms of energy effectively, or to the fact that is it financially viable to utilize that service. I think that's important. That's some aspects that we need to focus on in the future. The last bit of statistic that I want to share from this report, and actually there's a number of studies that can be gathered from, is also to say, what is the, to do an analysis, what is the satisfaction factor of customers that have access to electricity? And it's discovered by, from left to right, the 9-55% is basically indication of customers indicate between they very satisfied to satisfied with the excess of electricity, and that brings us to around 65% of customers saying they're quite satisfied with the excess there. And then the rest is between saying they're not satisfied to very disappointed in the service they're receiving. So I think there's still, that brings it back to the point that it's one thing to say excess, but to what level do you have excess? So although the program we're managing is about excess, but we also have to keep our eyes on the ball of what does this excess mean in the long run. I think that brings us to the challenge of the program. We've shared with you the data and some socioeconomic statistics. Now, I think we this is just a graph that we share, I think, regularly. Mm-hmm. We update it, but I think it's important that we still, irrespective of the numbers we're delivering, we're still sitting with a number of households, 3.3 million to be exact, at this point in time with an access to electricity. I can always say that the figure is not growing. It was for recently it was growing. We do does see the taxes that now coming down. Now, should you also remember that there's the commitment that has been made that by 2014 that there will be universal access, and the 3.3 million households not electrified means that we're not going to easily done that 3.3 in the next financial cycle. So we have to admit that it's not going to be electricity by 2014. But I think it's also important, and I want to stress, there was also a reason for this. They say that us as officials are good at of playing figures and excuses. So it's been taken that regard, my apologies, but I think it is also important that we do share some background with respect to the ICE program. When this program was originally started, the mandate was to address all the backlogs at that point in time. That was in 2001-2. The program started in 2002, and to look at the backlogs. At that point in time, the backlogs were around 2.5 million households. The idea was that all the other new added households would have been electrified by the distribution industry, either by Eskom distribution or municipalities. But due to the fact that the distribution industry restructuring didn't take off as we planned, and technically also the fact that the distribution industry went through a very negative change, that all of those newly added households moved to the INAP program. So we were actually changing the 2.5 million target, but was growing each year. So it was not only a backlog movement, we also looked at all newly added households. So as we showed, you know, really just 5.7 million households, and we still 3.3 million off, because of the fact that the mandate was one thing, but the way the program unfolded with time was a bit different ball then. So there's quite a challenge on our hands still. But just in light of that, Chair, I think it's also important that we just look at some statistics. The census 2011 gives us an indication, and it links with our data, that 12.24 million households have access to electricity, and that's where questions were asked, what source of energy are you using for lighting? And just under 85% of all households in Africa indicate they use electricity. However, I think we need to just take that figure and try to digest it. And if we look at the different categories of households that's been specified in the census analysis, there were 9 different categories, only highlight 3 here. The one is houses and rooms in backyards of this, 423,000. Informal dwellings in backyards, just over 700,000. and have roofs and flats, and dwellings and granny flats attached to houses, which is around 20,000. If you add up all together, you'll find there's 1.25 million households that's been identified as households, but the majority of them, the vast majority of them, are not metered. They receive electricity. They receive electricity from the prime stand and the prime household on the stand. The majority of that, and in some cases also the far majority, is that they receiving it through a meter, but that specific household is not metered. So it means the prime metered household is then distributing it to some secondary and third or fourth dwellings. I'm saying that. The challenge of that is for us is threefold. The one is that on the one hand, these households that we added and receive these services are not being designed in the design of the network. So it means it causes the design of the network to be overextended, and hence why a lot of customers, and recently we saw specifically in Gauteng, where customers are unhappy because they don't receive a quality service. This is one of the reasons. Because network designed for 100 households per square area, and then we find that over 400 households have received electricity from the same network. So the network is being pulled down. That means that everybody in the area is not receiving quality service. But there's also two other reasons. The one is that the talent design, I remember in the application to NERSA, and NERSA then also to assist poor households, designed the block tariff structure. So customers receiving service through this way, there's one main meter, and then from that meter, X number of households receives electricity for that. Then that meter just sees the consumption, so that customer can't qualify or can't get benefit for the inclining block tariff, because their consumption is a high level as if it's a household that is high consumption and high income. And thirdly, that customers or households can also not apply for free base electricity. Just right now, and just on the other side of Parliament, is the registration of the DSP. The Committee for Energy, Parliament Committee for Energy, is debating the issue of free base electricity. And these items can't also apply for that because the consumption is too high. So there's various aspects that I think we need to take off and so on. If you take 90% of those that is from this category and you add it to the number of households that we know that is not notified, you get to the metered households in South Africa is around 77%. So those around 1 million, 1.5 million that's received for service but need to be formalized is part of our realm of our responsibility. I thought I just wanted to mention that, Chair, because that we just didn't understand the full consequence of these different figures that's been utilized or used. Chair, as you remember, March 2012, there was a discussion in Davao and Durban, which some members have attended. From that, we promised, I apologize, we will develop a new education program strategy that has been completed. And the reason for it is that we had to look at a different ways of electrification. We can't, with 3.3, if you just carry on the way we're doing now, we're not going to reach universal access. It doesn't matter what sort of technology you use. You have to be smart, you have to look at what is the needs on the ground. And so I also showed some of the data in terms of that survey that's been done on energy use and electricity use. What we did is, in this busy slide, my apologies, but what it boils down, if you want to increase your access to this case electricity. There's only two ways you can do it. You either add more funding to it, or you address it with technology, or a combination of it. If you just keep on doing it the way you do it, you're not going to increase your delivery rate. So what you do is look at what is feasible in the country in terms of utilizing different technologies, and we define that we can, when we have up to now 68,000 connections being made to PV non-grid connections, we have observed that 10% of all of the outstanding households can be supplied with a sufficient supply with modern PV technology. If you bring that into a model and you then utilize the fact that we believe that we'll get an annual increase in electrification fund, then we can reach universal access by 2025. We model that in different ways. This is just explanation of different technology, different funding options, and what is the time frame you're gonna have to it. If you want to give credit to everybody at the current allocation, it will be a 2037 that we'll have universal access. So if these figures are linked to growth that we predict for the years to come, so it's not on, looking on today's figures, but on growth figures, and if we increase the allocation by 2 billion each year on top of the 3.5 that we're receiving this year, then we by 2035 can have a universal access, everybody getting grid to the furthest out post of this country. But we can also, in the middle column there, if we mix the technologies, grid, non-grid, 90% grid, 10% non-grid, we can actually, by increasing the 500 million, have universal access by 2025. And that's what devices we used for the design of the new strategy. I will come to that now. Well, this is just the problem is the number, and that figures there, 73 and 11, that to be multiplied by 1,000, so 73,000 households in the Eastern Cape, 11,000 households in Free State, 24,000 households in KZN, that can sufficiently be supplied by an on-grid means. That in total will reduce us at around 300,000 households that can be supplied by non-grid, and then the other energy needs for eating, cooking, can then be supplied by either a gas, LP gas, or by means of renewable biogas means. So that's the principles we apply and we plan to apply now. I also mentioned, Chair, that July this year, Cabinet approved this new household protection strategy, which says that universal access will be reached by 2025. 90% of these households will be by grid to the outstanding ones, and in order to do that, we have to do it in terms of a master plan. We can't, it was easy up to now to electrify according to wishes. We can't do that anymore. It's impossible if we do it. We're not going to use it, utilize or rely this program on the very strict plan, and we're not going to succeed and have universal access at 2025. Hence why we, in collaboration with ESCOM, have designed a busy designing and finalizing such a master plan. It basically boils down to various categories you're building to get your master plan. I think just as a way to example, and sorry, yeah, I think the focus is giving a bit of trouble. But in essence, this is just an example. So you just take the Western Cape, which is, doesn't matter which end of the state, just take Western Cape in this case. Greenish color there on your screen, is where there's good network access. If you go to the green, it's network rollout that's sufficient. You can still fiddle around with it. But the moment you change to orange and red, it's networks that are under severe strain and need to be upgraded, which as is, the network is under strain, so you want to add to it, you can't add it. So now we utilizing this as the way we also allocate our funding, because we will have to be cautious. We can't now electrify something in an area where the network is under strain, because it's impossible. You first have to move and then improve your network strength and then the application takes place. So I think we also need to make sure that our municipalities also utilize this program and we will allocate funds according to this. I know it will cause a lot of negative outcry to municipalities, but we can't only due to political or any other reason decide I want to electrify certain area. It needs to be along the lines of our network. Otherwise, if somebody wants to electrify an area quicker than what we can, then other banks need to come in. That's the only way we're going to get universal access. It's like building making a bed. You can't decide you first want to start with the icing sugar. You first have to start with the flour. And this is the way. If you're not going to follow this process right through, we're not going to have a nice, soft cake at the end of the day. And I have to stress it, Chip. I know we're going to get a lot of flack on this, but that's the only way. It is easy up to now because there's all the areas in the country with low-hanging fruit. It doesn't matter where you can blindfold something, you can put this finger on a spot in South Africa, you know there's a bad loss, you can easily electrify. We move beyond that point now. By 5.7 million new households we added, the networks are under severe strain, added with the networks haven't been upgraded by municipalities, and the citizens is also by ESCOM. So we need to take our concern with this. So certification can be done according to a plan. And just an example, I use West Coast, at the West Coast, we focus on the West Coast district municipality and the other city, something called River. That's the way we do it. We do full analysis per ward, knowing exactly what is the backlogs, what households need to be electrified, what is the totals that we can do, what's the cost, and when it can be done. Because you can't allocate the funding to a ward if you know that ward can't be serviced because it's in a red area, there's not enough network capacity. So just I think some additional aspects is that in KZN we have the challenge of islands that's been electrified, recent areas have been left out, literary streets been left out. We call it island electrification. We did the audit and we found just under 15,000 households have been identified that falls under this category of island electrification. We have started a special program with the systems ESCOM on this one. And already just under 11,000 of these houses have been electrified. We believe that outstanding, just over now even less than this, 4,700 will be done this year and early next year. So then we will finish with that unhappiness and of island education along political lines. The master plan development, I think, is important. We are working hard on that. It takes much more effort than what's planned. We're doing it in collaboration with ESCOM, but we're also building the customer department to take that responsibility completely over. You remember we had reported to the committee also the DBSA front loading. We started with that program. We have some challenges on the program. Right now, it's not the fact that DBSA have made funds available. We have identified which areas the funds have applied. But we have a challenge with National Treasury at the point in time, not signing it off, and we in negotiations with them on the way forward around this. I think also just before ending off, Chair, this program, electrification, is not only a national program, but also the national initiative called Sustainable Energy for All, SE for All, which is a national initiative. The South Africa is playing a really important role in that, and are also participating at high level. United Nations Secretary General's Committee on Sustainable Energy for All, where the Minister of Energy is serving on that committee. Just a way forward, so I think this program, as indicated, can only succeed with sufficient capital injection. We have to work according to a master plan, and I think it is also important, it's very difficult to operate with an inflation program application in an environment where the networks are not operating at the level it's supposed to be operated, and where back blocks are running billions of rands, so it is a big challenge. There's also, as a result of that serious network constraints that we have currently in KZN and Eastern Coast, a lot of funds are being allocated to those areas. Then in terms of implementation, lots of times we have to wait longer than expected for EIAs to be approved. Specifically in Eastern Cape, in the north parts of KZN. Then Eastern Cape, KZN again, lots and lots of land claims where you can't build networks before land claims have been completed. Tribal versus municipal land rules, we find a lot of time where you can't access, can't plant our poles to bring electricity upgrades to areas. Because of tribal rules. And the big one that's really biting us is that where funds being allocated for new households to be built, and then when the financial year starts, the houses are not being built. And then you can't electrify, you have to hold onto that money, and then eventually you have to then reallocate the funds. And if you don't do it in time, you lose those funds. So that's really a one that is biting us right now. I think what's important we have to increase and to have, I think, move quite along in terms of the cooperation between national government and specifically municipalities in assisting, in guiding, to monitor them effectively. Then our old challenge of resources with municipalities, I don't want to talk too much about that. That's known. But I think it's also important that it's one thing to say that you have to run this program on clean principles. Clean principles mean in terms of how you allocate funds, how you monitor the funds, are you run the program itself. But I must share with you, Jay, and it's knowledge, but I don't think people always acknowledge this. But to run a program team in good, under good administration, that's quite an effort. Effort in terms of manpower, the amount of time you have spent on reporting, making sure your systems are in place, dealing with over 200 initial entities and ESCOM. We have currently over 900 active programs running parallel throughout the country. It's a daunting task, and we have to be increase our resources. So with that being said, just some photos of recent developments. We're upgrading, we're building 10 new substations this year, upgrading the streets. We have new different electrification programs, either above ground, below ground, and especially with the cables, the wings below ground. And then this Saturday, we also did a switch on the Lundi. We also do it, the president recently also did the switch on the squad. So we celebrate what we're doing, and we're proud of what we're doing. Just to indicate, to run this program, we're not saying we do it perfectly. I can say with honesty, we have improved the efficiency we did. To give you indication, the time I've made this presentation, 40 new connections have been made. Each 85 seconds of workable day, new connections have been made. That's not coming cheap, it's not coming easy. It takes a tremendous effort, and some of the people are here, Lille and Grandi, that's part of the management team, and David is still ill. I forgot to mention in the beginning to apologize for you. To end off to say that I'm proud of my team, not saying we're doing everything perfectly. There's still 3.3 million hours over there that we have to let go. But I think we have the process in place, we have the support, and we have the master plan, we have the support for implementing the master plan. By 2025, we can have clearly say that every house of this country will have an existing one. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Thank you very much. Anyone that wants to add to the presentation from your team? Ah, okay, so you know the ethics, like they say, the beer speaks, no one speaks up. members, please, your time. Presentation not so good, sir. There's no question. Oh, clear.
Thank you, Chairperson and Dr. Barnard, for listening for the presentation. Can I start out with the last issue that was raised, the issue about the implant, the master plan? Whose term is this master plan? Because if you start dealing trying to conceptualize the plan, certainly there's a lot of role play specifically in this way. So who determines the plan? And I'm specifically raising that because Dr. Barna indicated that we mustn't be emotional or politically emotional when we take these decisions. We must be objective in terms of the way that we get into this rolled out of electricity to all. The second issue, Chair, is the long grid that Dr. Barna referred to, specifically the solar and the solar. Jesus. Now, this past weekend, or last Friday, I was there in Goldsburg, and Goldsburg is rolling out. It's got a big, Goldsburg is part of the municipal movement. They've a big program there. But if I can just take this as an example, there's two, in terms of my observation, there's two challenges. The first one is the relative slowness of the rollout. And the councillors say that contractors get maybe 50 for a place like those for 50 solar meters, and then they must work and then wait till the next funds come. So Dr. Barnard referred to that. So maybe you can just give us better more clarity. But the second issue, Chair, is the quality of the product. And it seems that there's a problem with the quality of the product. Because the tubes, many of those tubes that have been installed, they say very soon after it's been installed, there's a problem. And into that, Dr. Barnard, there was in terms of the broader context of this debate, there was a lot of song and dance about the localization and that these solar heaters will be manufactured in South Africa and so on. What is the situation? Of course, your department specifically supported the DPI initiative of localization very, very strongly. So what happened there? Then lastly, Chair, I'm no expert on this field, but it just seems to me that addressing many of these issues, we need to go back to some of the principles of the RED, the regional, what do you call it, the regional, yeah, the RED concept. Now, we know that the RED concept would be started in 2009, it was there, and then for reasons it was removed and so on. But it just seems to me that the establishment of mini-grids and so on might address some of the challenges that we face in the country. So, Chair, that is my question.
Thank you, Jacob, and thank you, Mr. Bader, for the presentation. Very interesting, especially when I hear housing. The up and out of housing at the moment is an electricity issue. People don't really have a lot of things. People don't understand the real demand, which is the feeling of the system is part of the problem. But I think something for myself and the assumption of all skills are working. And we see by the fact that things like that are I just want to comment on the 5,800 jobs that you mentioned that the lack of variation taking place. And I'm also mentioning that between 800,000 and 1 million creates one job. How many of these jobs are sustainable and how many have been created? Then I want to comment you on the internship, where most of the interns are being taken up in the municipality level because you find people being in an intern and having an employee. Then the households also that's using alternative energy, the panels and everything back towards them, unfortunately very poor people suffer. And people are crying out again, we can't get away, my constituency is now being closed down. People are using a lot, 75% of their money goes to it, because they need especially in Japan, while everybody else is using electricity, they still don't use alternative energy. And it's not easy to use gas because it's also expensive. What can be done here to assist these people? Because that is part of the problem we're having in South Africa, of the illegal connection. People will steal until they get electricity, unfortunately. And also the block usage, that is also a disadvantage, because people are very excited when they get funding to get into the market. But now you've got so many people, and I think the same is true, digital is all the data. In my constituency alone, I've got more than 60,000 big assets that can run. And all that is using illegal electricity. People don't think it's illegal when they connect to the ground. But it's also on the ground, it's causing a lot of problems. We've had people actually also managing the Orlando Power Station recently because of that. So this is just, I'm screaming out loud. And on a light note, Dr. Barnett, yes, you first start with the butter and then the flour. Okay, thank you.
So what we call it, a butter cake.
This was an interesting presentation, and Mr. Barnard is very apologetic that they won't make their target. Now, it's going to be a very difficult situation to explain on the ground why we haven't made targets. And my concern in the whole project is urbanization is growing too fast. People coming to city looking for jobs. And I don't know if the INEC plan is a live plan that can catch up, or, you know, Nazi, you can't play catch up rugby. Can you people play catch up INEC, if you understand what I'm saying? Because it doesn't look as though we're making ends meet. In the past, you used to say that in informal settlements, these settlements had to be proclaimed before. Is that still the case? And if so, where are we, how do we know which municipalities have proclaimed areas and which do not have? You raise the backyard issue, which is really of a serious concern. Because we walk in the townships every day, but we also see the illegal connections. I showed you this boat, this thing. They sent it to the municipality the other day. Operation Kanisa. And they said, just tell us what we must do to help to stop electricity theft. But when the municipality cuts off all the illegal electricity, first of all, then there's a riot. Then there's a sort of protest of no. The other side of it is, the municipality must cut off the electricity of the people who do not pay their account. So then, those people get the hearing because they say, but we do sometimes pay our accounts. The burden is just very big because our backyard dwellers can't afford to pay, or we can't pay for our water because we're the only one using the water, and they say they will pay for the electricity because it goes through the box. And because they can't pay for the water, their electricity is cut. You understand? Which is apparently a legal action. Then a further action that causes a lot of problems is when you have a municipality, electricity supplied by the municipality and electricity supplied by Eskom on the other hand. Now, Mr. A does not pay his water account, but he's got a prepaid electricity system. Mr. B also has a prepaid electricity system, but he does not pay his water account either. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Eskom doesn't cut off the electricity of their consumers, but the municipalities do because they don't pay their water account. So in the townships, we have a complete, inconsiderate, unbalanced system. And we need to find solutions for that. You also mentioned that there are new housing developments that do not take place, but you have money for the electrification, and then you can't deliver because the houses are not being built. I can understand that. The issue on the other side is we sit with houses that have been built that are called top structures. So in how do I know in my province what top structures are not connected to the electricity? Because in Hankey now I have a specific case like that, where two municipal workers' houses are being electrified, but the rest of the township is not being electrified. And then, how far are we in moving for service sand when you don't deliver? They do it in the Western Cape. They say, fine, we can give you a piece of land so long, and it can be serviced, so you can have water and electricity. Although you may wait a bit longer for a house, you understand. So, how far are we with that? And then, the provincial projects, King Sabata, the municipality, really worries me because I would like to know that, you know, the money that they got in the past could not quite be accounted for because there was no delivery. And then there was a problem in signing the contract, and the contract hadn't been signed for a long time. And now we plan an additional 60 million into that, which is a lot of money. How are we progressing on that one? I really would like to know. And when you do the analysis of this one Western Cape municipality, Berg River or something, whatever it may be, is there a report like that on the Eastern Cape municipality? Because that will really help us to do what we have to do in our municipality. I do not understand the land claims issue. And I do not understand tribal land, because I cannot imagine that a single traditional leader will object to electricity provided to people in their area. We often travel in the homeland, and we arrive quite late at night from wherever we were working. And then very many rural areas are very well lit up. So it worried me that we have areas, and if there are such areas in the Eastern Cape, then you must please tell me so that we can do something about that. And I think that is sufficient for the time being. That report that you had on the screen, if you would just give me the link so that I can follow that properly. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
But then now I want to understand the, how the allocation of course, because it's like some of the areas are not qualified to get the allocation. So I just want to know how the people, I think in the other provinces they do qualify, but my province was not there. I'm from the book and I'm from the heart of the right area of the book where we need this electricity. Even though now it's much better, because usually I used to town late, a little bit late, so that I could enjoy in the electricity when I go back home. But now it's much better. But I just want to know how this allocation goes to Adama. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. We can also join our Honorable Emma by uploading the presentation from Dr. I can see on each page of the presentation under bulk allocation to 2014. I see other provinces are giving bulk allocation. For an example, you look at Northern Cape and also Northwest and KZN. That the first place is there. The reason that they didn't give any allocation. Again, check and this issue of allocation seems to me to be the sum of the day. And I'm afraid I only speak of the municipality there. And Northwest is a very, very, very remote problem. If I don't see other municipalities, especially the one at the rural areas, like I come from the local municipality. And so what they came and said is that it's in town and every area. So that's one strategy. Why are they using, why is Adam more than all them? Yes, Adam allocated me. Adam, it must be.
Thank you. In the room. And we have to wait for Mr. Erasmus to switch on the light, that's why I say don't message it. Honorable Hali, you say, sorry, Balgamere, honorable, you say the light was there, but now it's not there.
No, I was saying, I used to be
new development, because electricity is a moving target, when you focus on those, it looks like they put one thing in one basket. Those that they mandated for and the new development that came, you put them in one basket. I think that is where we made a mistake. You didn't finish your mandate, otherwise we'll be told. You'll find that some of the connections, new connections are being done far better than the backlog that you had, which were your mandates. So I think we need to revisit that and go back to our mandate and finish the mandated target. The other issue is the issue of business opportunities that are given to communities for upliftment. If we could have some needs on such businesses where communities are involved. But the question I have that looks like that one, you know, much has been said about CBDE and SME support. So that links to the community businesses that you mentioned. Because this project by ESCOM or municipalities are big projects. They're not for the airport. And you don't see the SMMEs. And we don't. So we want to have some meat on those. The other issue is the challenge I have in getting funding is in front loading from DSA. I want to say maybe we need another meeting with this group, DTSA and Treasure. Yeah, and FSC, because I can't understand that when you are one government, things just have to go around the air. I mean, you could have one meeting and finalize everything in one meeting. You can't have it 3 months, 6 months, and 12 months, you're waiting for this one, you're waiting for this one. I think we need to facilitate this new picture ASAP. Also, one who has an interest in wanting to know the high backlog municipalities on finance. We talked about them so that we focus on them. So these are really our main target. In the northern part of KZN, there's an area that is called the Mangus, just across the border of Mozambique. I visited that area very often. And I talk to people, and then they say, you know, these lights that are moving around there, it's electricity from Mozambique, which we cannot tap into. So there are lights for Mozambique electricity, and people there have no electricity. They even say that electricity from Mozambique is not compatible to what we have in South Africa, not the technical. It's good that we have this presentation because I was going to invite the Minister Deputy that I wanted to go there. And this thing is very painful. Just like watching a pipe of water when you have no water. So, in my other question, I'm going to invite you, just for a week, all of you, that we visit the municipality in KwaZulu-Natal. That's really a problem. We will spend a week. Because I'm surprised about this. Even, you know, if you ask MPs here to comment on how MPs comment, I mean, perform, let them write answers and give them to you. Yeah. Then from there you go outside to ask other people how MPs perform. So these studies, these numbers says, I'm worried about, you know, if you go to the rural areas and ask them about this electrification, there are areas where you know it would take 10, 15 years without those people getting electricity. And those households are too many. So I really don't know where we get this figure. I have the same problem with COFTA on the presentation report that we have almost 90% of access to water, 25%. But as I know areas, you know, that's why I want to invite people that will see these areas. So, in our visit, we go to these municipalities and say, this is rural area, how many households, how many have electricity? Then we'll come with the real figures and I'll want us to reconcile them with your figures. How can we utilize the creative share to support infrastructure? that the challenge people who share is saying now the minister clause better to utilize it. Let us not use it for other means of salaries and all that, but infrastructure. And the other problem which must be taken by the department is the use of electricity as a means of punishing community, just like Honorable Funding has said. Now they get money from communities, they switch electricity, it is used as a threat. Whenever you do something, whether you don't pay rates, whether you do it, they switch off electricity. I think the department needs to send a message to communities about it. It's their only mode of survival, that's where they get their salaries now, by dealing people and so on. I don't think that was the intention, that the municipalities must survive on electricity payments. There's not other funding. Lastly, on the plans for regional economic development, there are these areas now that are going to be special economic zones. When we plan for these electricity and these projects, do we talk to these planners with other departments? Someone said, I always get defeated. Yes, now. We have the IDPs, which is integrated, but we don't have the IIPs, integrated infrastructure plan. Each time we deal with an IDP, we need an IPP at the same time. So that we plan for long. That is why we have challenges with our infrastructure. So when are we going to have this integrated infrastructure plan? So that when you put in electricity there, if the factory comes in, if the school is in, you don't think, for example, when we are going to go to Mambuzi with you, many developments cannot take place in that area because of the shortage of electricity. You need to upgrade, you need to upgrade, and it's for years. Short-term plan.
Thank you. Okay.
It's just a question of clarity. On the front, London stated that she drove through Bowman. I don't know if it was the Facebook or not.
Use of safer, cleaner paraffin and oil and all that. And And then Department of Energy says, no, but we should look at alternative energy or renewable energy. We should stay away from paraffin and candles and stuff because of the safety factor that there is. Also, environmental affairs have alluded to that. You say, but there's a safety factor. So, was there a study made about why the increase? Is it because of the poor households that can't afford? Because I know that in 2009, Energy then also said out at one workshop or strategic plan workshop of energy where they said that alternative energy should be brought down to the rural and the poor areas. Look at your solar powers, solar geysers, your sun, your wind powers and all that. So I just want to get that. Doctor, over to you and the team.
Thank you very much, Chair, and all members. I will try to answer some of them, and I will ask some of my colleagues to assist. There wasn't time to caucus, so please bear with us on that one. I will take them as it was given to us, Chair, starting with Honourable Sinclair. The first question was on the master plan, determines the rollout in terms of what role plays are involved. So I think what is important around the master plan, which I'm going to mention, is that it's going to be a recipe. If you don't know exactly where the big needs are, and I'm going to try also to link to some of the other questions and the question from the committee on the IDP, none of the application of municipalities are accepted if the IDPs are not attached to it. So the projects that I apply for need to be in the IDPs, so the addition. So that is one aspect that we consider really serious, that it needs to be discussed and being approved at the municipal level, lowest level of people. But I think what's important is that it must be then done in collaboration with the infrastructure on the ground. You can't want a location of this area if there's no networks, but another area can receive next year just because there's networks. So you just need to bring that in line. So for now, there's no such with the handbook and data available to ensure that it's utilized. And that's what we want to do with this master plan. That currently, Eskom has some data. And some consultants, but not everybody in terms of the country has access to everybody. So that will help. It also, determine where to allocate what funds. And also, the municipalities need to say, yes, I first have to do this area, then that area, because I can't see the area because there's no networks. That is the basic fundamental reason for the master plan. Just second comment on the issue of non-grid and social users. You just need to emphasize that when we talk about non-grid, we're not dealing with social users. It's solar panels. And that's what I was in the last photo was using to show in the top bottom. That's a solar panel, another solar user. But why the issue or try to answer it, because that is the purpose of today's session. On some of these is correct, as all Sinclair indicated, it's a slow rollout. The rollout has decreased due to the fact that we're moving from a rebate program where imported products were used to a localized manufactured program, contracting program. The changeover is causing us a bit of hiccups and then also the slowness. What I can indicate is that it's correct that a lot of these systems is not functioning well. It's because it's not manufactured in Africa, it's manufactured in countries where the water quality and water quantity is different than ours, and that's why a lot of these systems are not functioning correctly. The fact that it's been imported makes it difficult to guarantee something, because the company is somewhere in the east, and even if you go to the country, the way that some of these countries operate is that you have a sticker that has a name on the product, but thousands of individuals are manufacturing in small factories or in their backyards, so you can't really trace the origination. So that's why we moved away from it. And then the localization of 70%, where 70% of the tank must be local, and 70% of the rest of the products need to be local. That a lot is slower than what we expected, and I also indicate that the 31st of May, the Minister of Finance signed that determination, so we're a couple of months down the track on that one. I can mention that we have some of the companies that indicated that can't reach that, can reach it. Majority of them can't reach that 70%. What we're doing now is to request for a slight lifting of that. That's not a so easy process. But you have mentioned that what has been approved in the meantime is to say, let's continue in with the rebate program, but utilizing local manufactured products. It's not 70% retail, it's local manufactured. That's just a high level to address that concern of Honourable Sinclair. To comment on the REDS concept, like many distributors, there are different options on the table. Right now, I can mention there is no consideration of restructuring of the industry. It's not a policy option. What is definitely being under consideration is the issue around how to deal with the financial backlogs and the network challenges in the distribution industry. And that's a policy issue that we deal with. In collaboration with NERSA, MISA, COPTA, and NAS Treasury. One thing that I can say about this is that there is no indication whatsoever that there will be a funds being made available from National Treasury for upgrades of our networks. The reason for which, if you take the analysis of National Treasury as well as NERSA, there's enough funds being allocated in the tariffs of disparities to look after their backlogs and to improve the quality of their service. And I just want to end up with that there's a fact. Disparities will say no, because they show you their budgets, but if you look at their expenditure, it's at a different story. The budget for 5% of their revenue for electricity for maintenance, but in actual case, in their spending, you will get less than 1%. And that's where the challenge is. Hence why National Treasury and us is of the view that there's no sense in allocating funds for that. It's already in the system. It just needs to be increased and utilized effectively. So that in terms of those three patients from terrible evidence issue about jobs and the job sustainability. Under Chair, I think I can mention that with the analysis we did the last couple of years on jobs that we created, that's what we find. If you spend 1 million rand plus minus, you get one permanent job. That's created due to electrification. So that is a sustainable job we're talking about. The issue about the alternative energy and the cost of electricity, and I want to link that with the question from the Honourable Chair of utilising other energy carriers like candles and paraffin. I just need to, and my apologies if I misled the committee in the way I would project it. The only issue I want to reflect it in that report was that although customers have access to electricity, they still use other energy carriers. If you look to the census, the statistics of 2011, compare that with 2001, you see a dramatic decrease in utilizing paraffin and candles. So that's a fact. So all of that is last year, just to make a snapshot. So I haven't compared it with other years, but that information I have here, I just have to search for where you can show it came down the line. But still, after 70 years, we're still utilizing a lot of these carriers, which is problematic for us in terms of various reasons, how the fire risk is here. So it does get cut down, and it's still we still have to decrease it dramatically. Illegal connections, honorable member, that the disparities, ESCOM and the departments that we were it's not an easy one to solve. Hence why our solution to this is make access to electricity legally available through meter. I mean, they need to have illegal connections. And hence why we digest that figures. I think the first time we now took that figures apart to say there's around just over 1 million that houses that have access to electricity that's not metered. We need to bring them into the realm of meter supply. And then we can solve a lot of these illegal connections, as well as the block, the electricity block tariff, that to make sure that that is implemented where it's supposed to be. Because if you analyze the number of poor households in the country vis-à-vis the fee-based electricity allegations, this is a huge mismatch. It's a 1-6 mismatch between these. And the only reason is because some of the customers can't apply because of this situation. And there's also some municipalities that have the strategic means to manage it. But the majority of cases because of this issue. I'm going to move to thanks for the correction on the matter that you started with the case, but the principle that I want to make is that we have to appreciate it. The targets that's been set and we are certainly moving towards urbanization and I need to catch up to that and your comments on the informal settlements, and I didn't mention to that. With this new electrification household strategy, we actually move away from this whole notion of it need to be formalized into different plans. Honourable Chair, I think what is important, our argument now is where is a need to electrify, but a very, very clear one. Two reasons why we're not going to electrify. If it's unsafe, we can't electrify a waste which is each 6 months underwater, because electricity and water doesn't mix. So you can't electrify that with grid. And there is logic reasons that a settlement will not be in existence for the next couple of years. Or where the settlement is such a nature, it is practically impossible to move in with grid. There are certain areas where you can't move grid. It's literally not possible to put the grid in there. For those areas, we can implement also PV kits. So it's not that these systems that we used, utilized or shown on the photo bottom right. It will be small kits which will at least supply a household with 3 lights, and it regards a cell phone, and also have access to a radio for that matter. So that's what we are now busy designing, and if you can recall the EU's African bilateral meeting that took place 6 weeks ago, there was 2 major announcements we made around that bilateral time, and one of them was that the EU will support the next couple of years Africa on their rural and informal household electrification program. So it's something we're still designing, we're still working around the models for it, because we also want to utilize this as a job creation opportunity. So not only for exit, it's also job creation opportunity. That definitely, I can say, we are moving away from that very strict principles for electrification. The issue about the legal connections and the rural municipalities, Chair, from where I'm sitting, it's difficult for me because it's not really my mandate, and all I can say is the linkage we have with electrification around this. So that's for the policy area that falls outside the department's mandate, to be honest, with COPTA. It's correct that municipalities are utilizing electricity as a credit control measure. That is unfortunately illegal. There's a couple of court rulings on this that municipalities are not allowed to use electricity as a credit control measure. They need to deal with it as if it's the service that's been rendered need to be dealt with. So that from my side in terms of the specific issue. Then there was some specific reference being made by an honourable member around Hanky, just because I'm also from that area, or was from that area now, Victoria, but I know the area very well. It's an Eskom supply area. So why only two households have been electrified difficult for me to answer, honourable member, but it needs to be, I think, investigated because electrification is they're not sitting with the same case referred to electrification according to borderlines, according to certain preference, political or whatever reasons. It's not fine. So we will like to get more detail on that. With respect to new households, the ruling is that we supply households with food services. So I mean, it doesn't make sense that there's a neat house to build, access to water, sanitation, no electricity. So that's why we piggyback on all new households need to receive electricity. It's about timing. Timing aspect is a problem. We sometimes have where we put in the networks because the households are being built, so we put in the networks, and then something goes wrong where the housing project only reaches roof or halfway fish, and then it stops due to 100 reasons. I don't want to go into detail of that. And then the networks are in. That's what's a big challenge because all of them networks have been stopped. Within a week's at the time, it's been stopped. The moment construction is been stopped, our network is being taken away. And we have to therefore have a really good sync between building the houses, completing houses, and putting networks. But that's a given. If a housing project is being launched, it's being implemented, electricity is not there, then it means that household, new households have not been locked with us. And it does happen. But it doesn't apply to us for those households. And suddenly, they've been built and then they want to say, I need some funds for it. So we plan in long-term plan, not short-term planning. So it's impossible if they now suddenly want electrification being done at the end of the year. We can't. The funds are already been allocated. So we do have some of those changes where each benefit doesn't apply in time, and then it makes it very difficult for us to then suddenly electric car areas. We do have some means. We are halfway through the financial cycle. We have what we call regazetting, where we reallocate funds that the sea is not going to move, but it's very limited. And then we can assess some of those things. But the issue about servicing of stands where there's no houses, I think it's partly been answered to say that we move in where there's households, formal, informal, that's a household that needs to be receiving a service on given those two conditions. The specific around the concern of ASD, I think that is it's true, and I can mention, and I did, I think, last time I was here, I also forwarded a special report to you, Honourable Chair, on KSD of the work we did on electricity specifically. Chair, I can mention that the networks in KSD is for such a nature that we had to redo a lot of things. There's literally, it's a very, very situation. And it doesn't matter where you touch that patient, there was pain. And you know, you have to apply a lot of antibiotics and a lot of operations to change it. And I can say with confidence that with respect to the networks, the basic backbone structure, we have improved dramatically. We have rebuilt two substations. If you come from the airport to a town, just opposite the Sasol garage, and I can speak in such a nature because I run that project, also a project manager, electrical engineer, running that force in parallel to the municipality and the systems to make sure that the funds that we inject, they inject in the right manner, be utilized correctly, and that we get efficiency out of it. The substation left inside a tornado that you've rebuilt, and you will physically see if you need to the left next to the waterworks there. It's new transformers put in a total new switch here. The ring feed around KSD, the 60 million is going to be utilized for that because the poles are bent down, some networks is very, very old. It's old instruments that we use. And that's why the town is sometimes been off for no reason. It's because it wasn't ring feed, a stable ring feed, so we complete that. We also rebuilt a second substation, and we built the Zimmer the third one. We also upgrade some of the internal networks. So, Chair, I can say that the money that's been allocated for KSD in terms of the network, I can honestly say, is done to the benefit of the town, of the city. I can't tell him to stand in for how it's going to be returned afterwards. I can't stand in how the revenue management system is going to work. I'm part of the team that is looking after the KSD as a presidential upliftment program. And part of it is to ensure that we have good management systems in place to ensure the sustainability of that. So that's a program that's running for some 2 years and we're still running for a couple of years. Including this is a couple of other projects. In terms of, if you have landed here recently, you'll see the airport that we rebuilt. The N2 actually coming from northern parts of northern direction, I mean into Tata, the Nelson Mandela Bridge that's been widened and rebuilt. So we rebuilt the waterworks in Tata, just on the left side of that bridge. You'll see there's some construction around the water irrigation. So there's a huge number of infrastructure developments we're busy with. So not only with electrification or electricity, but it is to bring us to network up the stable system and then to also, from our side, to monitor for a couple of years the management of it. So that's also part of our part of this. The question is, the master plan is also dealing with Eastern Cape. Yes, here we have a solid master plan to do it for our country. Some of the information is to a higher level than others, depending on the feedback we got from municipalities. In Eastern Cape, unfortunately, we haven't got the level of feedback from municipalities, which we would like to have. But there's quite a substantial information that we have on municipalities. The issue that not understanding what why land claims and tribal land is a big issue. Chair, to become practical, if you want to deal with it, we found a lot of things. We place it in Eastern Cape, Northwest. You want to build a line, and then the tribal leader doesn't allow you to build a line. He will only allow you to build the line if you pay for accessing the land. Then it's normally long negotiations. In some cases, we have to redefine for kilometers lines because of such states where you see, you build it, you're paying me, I'm going to burn it down. And it happened. We have proof of it. So that's the reality of the ground. It's not written in the Act of the policies, that's what we're facing. Land claims, if you want to get a land claim, just make an announcement you want to build up, so that someone can get it in and it's in place. You will eventually build your land claim on that. It's an unfortunate situation, you need to go through all that process. Another 3 years down the line. Honourable Gamedi, you make my mention of non-water cases in exactly that's one of our reasons. We sit in that and then we sit with EIAs that can't complete, not been approved, for taking lines through some of the sensitive lands, which is understandable, but to redirect some of the lines, and then new EIAs, another 3 years down the line. So that's a reality, unfortunately, that we have. The report link I will give to you on the road. Adam Allocations, there was also the same one from Honourable Kinsey. Just in terms of the allocation itself, I think the first thing that we need to mention is that we only got a once-off 320 million rand. Now, 320 million rand, this will be 40 billion rand backlog, is nothing. So no matter what we have done with this money, somebody would have been upset with it. The criteria we used, say we're 320 million and we want to use it as a pilot use it as a pilot to prove if you manage an allocation very specifically, you get much more allocated. And the way we did allocation, we invite a lot of municipalities to produce, submit to us business plans, what is your shortcomings in your electricity business? And it's funny, I would say, how little of the municipalities know where the problems are. They don't know where the problems are. Some of them gave our problems 1 billion rands.
That problem, that proved that.
950 million rands, initially. And then some can't tell you what the problems are. They just tell you, you know, they'll network. And I think I told this story that it's like asking a great 12 learner. This time of the year, when he comes to you and he's got problems with maths, and ask him what's your problems with maths. He knows everything in maths. Where do you start? You start in grade 1. And that's what you have here. They just say, well, he quit to me. And if you give that answer, you can't help him. It's impossible because you want, the question is, what project can we assist you with that will make a tremendous change in your network? And we got quite a number that at least then submit some such projects to us. And then we took those and we said, we need to have a cut through the whole distribution network in Africa. Because it's a pilot, so we took some metros and write down some very, very small municipalities. And then we used that as a pilot to see if we can monitor, if we can inject 20 million. Before, they told us, if you give it 20 million, I can do nothing. This project is showing 20 million, sometimes is a tremendous assistance to them. Because we went in with them, with MISA, with ourselves, and consultants. Is analyze what is their needs. And it's maybe just one switchgear and half of a transformer that we can pay. They can, and then that whole network is much more strengthened than it was previously. So that is the way that it's only 20 million for a huge backlog of at least in, I mean there's no municipality in this country that couldn't use this money. Anybody could. But we just had that money. We allocated the money, we asked for solutions, sift through that, and then we made a cut to different types of municipalities, from metros around to the smaller ones. That's what it said. Was it not according to provincial provinces? Please don't see any provincial advantage, disadvantage here. That wasn't the idea. We're just taking the different municipality categories from top to the bottom. And to check in some areas high amounts, some areas low amounts, to see what is the effect of that, according to what they have in the business plan. The issue about the...
Sorry, Doctor.
Chair, I just want to even though this I'll go through a follow-up. I think we need to be strong on this issue. I think what honorable members are saying, you know, if you look at those areas in the state, those are the areas that were designed to have electricity long time ago. Long time ago. They're designed to have a specific purpose and a specific section of the community. Now, we actually widened that gap by now servicing them once more, say, we're servicing those areas. What the members are saying, the real rural areas are not there where they need electricity. You look at these towns, Nelson Mandela, those are the towns that were there and were designed for a specific group. And we still service them. That is the issue. That there is no rural municipality that was established is an affected democracy. That is getting the best. We continue with this divide in this present day. That is the problem that we have.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for that. Sure, I think we just need to understand this Adam Fund is not for electrification. It's for existing networks that need to be upgraded. So please, why it's been included here is because it is, I just want to make a point that we also addressing backlogs in existing networks. So just need to separate it. So this was, it's not Adam Funds are not for electrification. It's to assist existing networks. To, and as I say, it's 35 billion. Backlog into Africa. So this is just an example of how this can be used. So this is not litigation fund. This is litigation fund. This is litigation fund. It's not, Adam is not litigation. It's about upgrading of existing networks. Because it's one thing to allocate funds for new networks, but if you leave your old networks behind, that falls back. So this is an example how we want to show these parties. You can, with small amounts of money, still maintain and upgrade your networks. That is the purpose of this. So it's not to do with electrification. Adam is totally separated from electrification. Our electrification budget is 3.5 billion rand. That's going for electrification. For areas we don't have excess electricity. Adam is allocated to areas which have excess electricity, but the upgrade network is falling flat. For instance, I was there all Friday. population average right now, TPD area, 3.5 days a month is no electricity. You need to allow the capital station into 50% of a month non-electricity. People are pulling out, industries are pulling out of the disease. So they can carry on with other areas. So the application is slightly different. It's not for new creation, it's for upgrade of the existing network.
Sir, on that issue, we talked about that. I've just mentioned marvels for upgrade of network. That is what we say. Mongolia has been like that, and you have a lower network because the rural municipality. It's not that. This is what we mean. It's also for an aspect. That is why we say we need to go to where there are really backlogs.
It's taken. The country is 30% of the country has serious backlogs. So it depends on where you focus on. And it's true, it is. And we put, if you see the amount of money we put into integrated in, there's a lot of money we put into integrated in to address that issue. It's true, there's huge backlogs. We accept the backlogs is 3.3 million houses. If I convert it into rands, currently, as you said here, the backlogs in terms of electrification, not network of it, electrification. Honorable Chair, 82 billion rands. I receive 3.4 billion rands a year. So I have to take 3.4 billion rands and I have to raise 82 billion rands. Now somewhere somebody is going to have their eyes. So we try to spread as wide as possible and to make sure that the lines that each year, everywhere in the country, there's more lines in China. So yes, it's been noted, and I'll come back to that now. I know that's the issue also. I think I've dealt with the added issue now. The Honourable Committee raised a couple of issues, very good comments, the questions. So one is NDG targets and the mandate of Utrecht, Honourable Member. It's true, we haven't reached, universal access. And the comment of the first is to finish the targets, it is true. But remember I mentioned that INAP also didn't become the default goal access to energy fund. Now just explain that all new households that we built need to be electrified, because it's a policy of government, we need to supply all new households with food services. As a matter of fact, each year there is 120,000 to 150,000 new households we built. So a big majority of my funds is going there. So if you say we just do backlogs, then we're not going to electrify any households. So it's just one balancing act. If we have more funds, we can do more. But unfortunately, that's reality. So I think the way we address backlogs is actually a miracle, given all the other challenges we have. But it is something we can consider. And that's it. The policy that doesn't bring us. And right now, I must say that we're sitting with outcome 7. Outcome 9. Outcome 9 tells us we have to focus all our attention to 24 district municipalities, plus 5 mine income. Then if you look at outcome 7, it says, well, what about all the cities? You know, the informal areas. What about them? You have to focus all your attention there. Then we're sitting with 6, it says, all municipalities backwards. So it's about a fine balance here. If you have 85 per grants, it would be much easier. I think the business opportunities is true. I haven't addressed that. But we can supply that with you. That is available. I haven't unfortunately felt that it was a fine act of the CR to what to do. Again, from strategy side, very limited figures I can verify. From some side, yes, I verified the figures. So that can be in principle also the SMEs. It's a specific policy that ESCOM is implementing very strictly that we can give you the data for. I haven't shared that with my colleagues. The proposal on the funding facilitation is appreciated and we will participate in that. National Treasury is setting view on this front loading, which the first 1 hour and we're struggling to convince it. The issue about the lines in the northern parts of Tanzania that goes to Mozambique, it's true, Chair members, but those lines are from Kabora Pasa, and it's lines that you can't visualize in our networks. The lines from Kabora Pasa are DC lines, we use AC lines. You travel from Owatambo Airport towards Pretoria, halfway to Pretoria on the right side of the sea, and they build a huge substation, massive substation. They actually had power from Mozambique, is converted into AC, and then pumped into our networks. So those lines can't be utilized. And also take note that your your IMAST lines, that can't be tap off into distribution network. It's not the level of electricity that's been supplied is totally different into the tapped down into substations. The issue of listening case again, we're always enjoying listening case again. I was here last week. These photos that I showed here, they can case again and can show you some more. Where we monitored different projects in case again. Is one of the priorities in case in terms of backlogs. If we will share money for infrastructure, it's not a call that we can make. I think it's a call that National Treasury has to make, and maybe it's something that we've got. We can't. I mean, it's not our funds. We're not in control of that, those policies. The fact that it's been used to function communities, yes, I think I dealt with that. That electricity to be used as trade control, but it's illegal. I mean, economic development and regional development, and if you're talking about partners, I think I have dealt with it in terms of IDPs, how we deal with IDPs, etc. And also, I think the last one was then on your answer that I think in terms of the increased use of cameras. So I think I dealt with all of them, maybe not to the level that but I understand the question with them.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I don't think people are using candles or paraffin or gas because for any other reason that electricity has become too expensive. They get X quota as part of the indigenous policy, and then thereafter it becomes too expensive because then they have to buy. And this is where your problem that you raise with the backyard issue becomes a reality. And that is the thing that needs to be addressed. Electricity is very expensive. the other issues, I don't know how we're going to address that. I thought cutting electricity was, there was a court case, and that's why they could cut electricity because of debt owed to the municipality, and that the court ruled that you may cut the services if there's an outstanding account. So if you say it's illegal, then we have to follow up on that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to say something on the issue of the traditional leaders. Because if you visit this type of leaders and talk to the traditional leader, you're talking to someone who is hungry, who doesn't even get money to actually they don't have the coverage of medical aid, and while poverty is a home, you get to be in the traditional leader's house. So if you go to their areas and approach them and they talk about money, and then you just leave and say, no, we cannot electrify this because the traditional leader need money. It's not like to the people who need the electricity. I think the department must know that we have organizations that cater the traditional leaders. Organizations like Contraleta and National House of Traditional Leaders. So if you buy those organizations, they will tell you what is it that you should do when you go and maybe you want to do something in the area of the traditional leaders. Because sometimes you find that you think that they need money, of which they only want something that is called lotaki in the traditional form, where they use the money to transport whatever needs to be transported in that area. So when they end up running away, not knowing that there's something that you must do. I think for our people not to suffer because of the poverty that is in the house of the traditional leaders, you need to know, I really don't know.
Oh,
my apologies. Until then. I don't know. I don't know. How do you then end up helping this type of people? Because if this is an area or maybe a house where there's no current, I'm talking about these houses whereby like inherited by the children. You just end up and say, what is it I can do to help you? They'll just get everything because they don't have anything. And then if the officers, they don't know what they want, then I pass. You're not helping them. I was thinking that you'll come up with, the department will come up with a plan of helping this type of municipality. Whatever you say, please present your plan so that we also include you in the Adam. In the Adam allocation. In the Adam. So, if I say Adam, the chair will be as the main Adam. So, you know, my appeal is that keep money. Let's help our people. Let's help our municipality. Let's just not leave them because they don't know what they must do. You see, you hear me. As I've been speaking here, I've been breaking and making this English in better. Because it's not my language. But I'm trying, you see. I'll tell the department to also try when they go to this type of municipality. And the other thing, I'm at the connection of our locations for 2013-2014. To my knowledge, I think the population in Eastern Cape is not bigger than population in other provinces. But you see, half of the money has been taken to Eastern Cape. I don't know, maybe it's in respect of getting out of the democracy. But I would ask the department that they should consider even these other provinces. They should not take bulk of the money to Eastern Cape. I think if we, not that I'm speaking on behalf of our chair in the country, but I think Ocean Natal is having a lot of people. Population, you go to Ocean Natal, you find many people, you go to Limpopo, you find many, how they fight. Hey! That is not being done. Money going to one problem.
I have the privilege of talking about the job of Dr. Barnard. You see, when Malema left the POPO for the ANC and the POPO, the intellectual property knowledge left.
Let's take Malema out of this.
Thank you.
Just focus on the annual.
He is somewhere where we don't even want to know where he is now. Chairperson, we've got to go to the slide that shows the backlog in KZN, and it's a slide with pillars. It's a map of the country. Where is it?
Yeah, that's right.
If you look at that, now we've been told before that they started with the rectification of provinces like Limpopo, and we all know the major backlog of 86% and 73% is in where you are, is in KZN and the Eastern Cape. So we must understand what this is all about, and we must not just continue to put pressure and deprive other people that have a right to electricity. We must also look at the whole picture of electricity backlog in South Africa.
I'm still waiting for the department to respond on the issues that I wish to know. Thank you very much, Chair President. So, on the Adam issue, Chair, much as I got an explanation that this Adam allocation is for upgrading great electricity to the system. I don't think that many countries do understand. Because I'm saying this because the doctor was saying other municipalities, whenever they are requested a business plan or whatever, they just send a business plan. A brand of business plan, not knowing, not being specific to what they want. Now, my
humble request would be that if a chance, let the municipalities be workshop about the Adam. Because even here it's written Adam allocation 2018 being one of the infrastructure allocation. If one is this, doesn't get that word upgraded. So by the time one doctor was explaining, I don't know which, because I'm not familiar with this place so much, obviously, that's where he emphasized massive substations. So those massive substations, we want them at the rural area. Mm-hmm. Here we are mandated by the rural people. Mm-hmm. So there's a need for the rural people to be attended to. There's a need for service delivery for the country in the city. That I'm in almost with both rural problems. I see only couple here. And honorable member did emphasize that also that there's a need for the rural areas to be given a service delivery. So thank you, Chair. I don't know on which page, because these documents are not the same, other pages are not the same, other pages are not the same as mine here, but under page 5, under social economic impact, bullet 2, under training, municipal engineer in camp and project manager. Another 700 in camp that has been exchanged. I just want to check that. Is it for the municipality, local municipality, or also and also metro municipality? This 700 in camp. Why can't it be broken into a problem? Out of this 700 in camp, I want to check how many promoters can be
involved. The interesting thing is, it's wonderful to have 700 interns, and say 100 of them are still interns now. That means there's 600 years left. There are 286 municipalities in the country, including the district in this country, which would mean that let's say 300. So that would mean that each municipality could at least have one or two electrical engineers. Now, we don't have that, and we know that there is a gap of electrical engineers in municipalities that is really a red flag. And electrical engineers, as Dr. Barnard said, is a big issue because the municipalities cannot even prepare a business plan to go with an application because they do not know what the problems really are. So the issue is, are these engineers or interns, are they deployed somewhere? And if so, where? And if they are so special, are they being grabbed up by the private sector? And is there an internship not undertaking with the department that they will do and the internship and then work in the municipality for, say, 5 years or something, or is that unreasonable to expect?
Honourable Chair?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm very happy to say that the permanent delegate from the Northwest is speaking much more than the previous one. Important issue.
is to get all the role players around the table and so on. And I think sometimes we get confused with all these acronyms. Maybe we must refer to Dr. Barnard must clarify what Adam is, because Adam is not an Adam, Adams or Abrams or whatever. It's a very specific instrument that's being created to create, to address the infrastructure neglect. Many people think, and I'm not a technical person, but many people think the problem is to get it to the house. No, the problem is not to get it to the house. The problem is to get electricity from a generator to a substation and then to the various premises. But there's another debate that I think we must see, and some of the colleagues addressed that, and that's the issue of what is the role that INEF is playing in terms of industrialization in South Africa. That is the important issue. It's fine to say that INEF's mandate is to provide this and that and so on. But the bigger debate is about the one about industrialization. Because at the end of the day, if you've got a network, if you've got generation capacity, that electricity must be used by an end user. And that end user wants quality and certainty about the product that they receive. Now, one of the issues that I agree with the honourable members that's making big motivations for the rural areas is the quality of the electricity in the rural areas. There's a lot of fluctuation. That certainly got an impact on the industries in that area. And I think as part of the budget problem, I really believe that something that we need to look at in terms of the quality of the final product that's been delivered to be it households, be it to industry, be it to farmers, and whatever. Thank you, Chief.
Well, thank you, members. I think
Chair, firstly, I see there's a relationship between Dr. Einstein and Pompo.
We should have to wait, Chair.
There was some tweets there.
Yeah.
Chair, we said you were in Spain, and on the issue of alternative energy, so we believe generating electricity, just one, and servicing about plus minus 2,000 households. And the cost converted into South African dollars was about 1.5 million. Can't remember, what's the name of, I can't remember the name of the town, but that's
right. After year you won.
You know, it's amazing. Now, I look at us doing 168 connections and using 5.6 million. I know we are not a windy country, but definitely there are certain sections where it's going to even be more difficult to have these connections to use this form of energy. I don't know, we would need some engagement on this. We thought it was quite reasonable. I'm sure we're going to be presenting something to the department about this issue. But we saw it as very cost effective, and it could take more than 2,000. Just one is measure. The issue about, I wanted to pass on this, there's a task I've given Dr. Barnard about one other municipality, Mandini. I'll get response in many 7 days time of Monday. That municipality approached me. There was huge cane fields. They've been doing this and that. There's no assistance. So I'm feeling Dr. Fanat on the detail to contact, and I expect a response in 7 days. You know, the issue about EU funding, we're discussing about this yesterday. This funding or funders or donors, their intention is to influence the policy of the country in one way or the other. So we want to engage, I'm sure the committee, more especially this one and even the trade and industry, we want to engage them because you know that he who plays the pipe of the two. So the funding, there's these conditions and so on. So we'd want this EU funding to have a discussion on it one day, Chair. Specifically this one, because it addresses the electrification. Because on the same day that we're going to have one big meeting, maybe in the afternoon, we'll have the discussion about this fund. So that we direct it to where it is needed, maybe also in our terms in the country.
Doctor, I just wanted to find out the department and Lisa. They started talking, it's a talk for a month. What is the support that you get from Lisa? Because, I mean, Lisa is also part of the group that we will call on the 8th of October. Over to you, Doctor.
Sure, thanks. I will do a summary to some of the delegates to visit what in the my team knows. Starting with the issue of expensive. It depends on what measurement you're using to define expensive or how expensive it is.
What is it?
If you compare actually tariffs to Africa with the rest of the world,
yeah.
We reach this fifth and seventh cheapest in the world. If that aspect, I mean, you can convert it into US currency, you can convert it into McDonald's currency, whatever currency, that's a fact. And for us, in the country, it's expensive. But you must also then compare with other expenses we take. For instance, communication tariffs, cell phone tariffs in this country, if you compare that internationally, which is not exactly the opposite. If you compare our internet access tariffs, which is on the other end. But if you see the excess of cell phones in the country, it's from the high of electricity to cell phones. So I think we just need to also express what is expensive against what. This would last much deeper, honest. But that's another day. You should have the comments and you should be thanks for that. I think it's just to deliver grassroots services in this country is not a joke. It's tremendously difficult. You have various policies, acts that you have to adhere to. And if you've been required by anyone, you can't use my land if you don't put money on the table. Our system doesn't work that way. And even if you want, INAP doesn't have a social arm, it's a government social responsibility. We don't have attached to it, like a private company, and social responsibility, to say we have a fund for anything else. I mean, so if you put 4 billion rands a social grant for the education, there's no issue, nothing like that anywhere else in the world, by the way. So when the tradition leader tells you, then you can get this must be built over my area. Then we're going through all of those processes you referred to. But it takes time. It takes time. We have to set up meetings, get access to people. Well, in our case, recently, we have trouble setting up meetings with some people. At the end of the day, remember you're also working with contractors, that you have to sign contracts with people to run with things. And if the contract is there, you just have that opportunity, one financial year. Working. If you miss a month or two, you miss your target. So I can tell you, Chair, it's. I remember we have 920 projects that we're running, we're implementing, and you said, every 85 seconds we have to make a connection. If you've been held up, there's some connection not being held. But we're trying our best with it. The other issue about the fact that. The Adam, and I think there's a couple of questions coming again about the Adam. Chair, just need to repeat, it's a once-off allocation we got to test the issue about assisting the distribution industry in the country. So it wasn't about new connections, it wasn't about trying to solve the current distribution industry challenges in the country. It was test some principles around addressing backlogs in terms of existing networks. So So we have a base of 320 million, which would be close to 40 million chip. With the process we followed was that there's very simple entities being involved. National Treasury, DBSA, MISA, COPTA, ESAM, Disparities, SALGA, were all entities that were involved in this. As I just want to mention, it wasn't only us. It was a basic issue. And everybody had some concerns on the table because of the fact that needs are so huge. And so there was various issues you had to deal with. And remember, it's a pilot for the country, and we had to have a cut through the whole spectrum of municipalities that you have to address. And except that it is maybe problematic that in certain areas that receive funding, but I said, what do you do with 320 million if you have 40 billion rand needs? If somebody else might need a better cut, anybody will have a different cut. That is what it boils down to. If you're curious, you need to address all spectrums and modalities from acres to small ones, and you need some sort of criteria in terms of the fact that you need to submit some business plan. The issue about the workshop, I think, is important, but it's a once-off. We workshop with municipalities from INAP side twice a year, formally from our side. Then we meet them also at the energy forums once in each 3 months. Then we also, our regional managers are meeting each municipality when they do the IEPs. When these provincial energy forums, we attend that. So we are meeting with these entities more than once each year. What I can say is that whatever you find, you meet with the municipality now, next year, or even at the end of the year, that the same people you have met with isn't there, because the municipalities in the technical side of the municipalities have a turnover rate of over 30%. So you always have to re-engage with them. There's also a question around the issue about the socio-economic aspects, Colombian Europe, and also with the fact that the rural is urban from here, you can just deal with the whole training issue and the breakdown also from the rural fundamentals issue.
Thank you. Chairperson, thank you, Honorable Member. My name again is Colombi Congo. Actually, I'm a project manager in regard to the trade. Let me first apologize for not breaking down the number. But if I can share with the committee, we've already trained more than approximately 500 students who are all qualified to become an engineer, electrical engineer. And if I can also share with the committee or other members, this program has got 150% training opportunity. But as a department, we actually don't have a budget for that. That's why we go to such an extent that we send our proposals to EWC to fund actually this training program so that we can capacitate those students who didn't get an opportunity to get relevant training so that they become a marketable at the end of the program. So that in this case, the funds that we receive actually from the EWC, it only caters for 83 students. And this program, it can create an opportunity to train more than 500 IMAN. So if we are in that small budget for the training, definitely we are not doing any justice to our community or to our people who complicate their studies.
I just add the chair in terms of that 700 being trained. Please note that all of them were engineers. Remember, project managers, etc. So it's not only engineers that we train. It's a finish. Not all of them go into municipalities. They go everywhere, ESCOM, private entities. So I think it's difficult to make that direct link between the number of municipalities and the number that's been trained. To say that each municipality is an engineer. A lot of them are leaving and that's why under engineers. Do you want to just take a few questions?
önce good afternoon or another member. I just want to make us compatible with the issue that is coming from the honorable member across that line. This is with regards to rural municipalities not being attended to. The challenge is the honorable of the question we're talking to me, and the answer was yes. But there is a challenge there which has led to us doing business in an unusual manner. MISA has got engineers, but they are not all electrical engineers. They are still engineers. So they are still dependent on us and our ability and expertise to be able to assist the municipality. In the light of that, the last 3 weeks of last month, I've been grounded, by the way, now. I've spent 4 days each week out of the office, away from home, trying to close the gap in MISA with regards to the rural municipality. Why we embark on that? Well, our framework, if you read it carefully, it has an element of supporting these needs, and that has not been visible to them. And this is what now we are trying to do on our one-on-one contact sessions with them, to try and analyze also their business plans that we spoke about earlier on, to say, are they doing the right thing, so that we can begin then to fund. If certain provinces do not get money, it is not because they're overlooked. It's because now the detail that is captured is not convincing when it comes to expenditure matters, and we want to talk to that. We don't have a reason not to fund. But if it is not convincing and it is not the language that is supposed to be used, it makes it difficult. Yes, we've made errors maybe before, and we don't want to continue to do that. It has to be clear what it is that we are funding, what it is that we are talking to. So this is the kind of exercise we want to talk to going forward and try and close that gap to say, rural municipalities are not looked into. Excuse me. We are doing something. We are having something for them. The manner in which that is utilized, or maybe even the approach to an extent, is what now we want to make it clear, so that it appears that if they are not counted in the Adam allocation, but they still form part or they still benefit through our framework, because this is what is happening. To just put an illustration, on the 6th of August, the Premier, Honorable Premier of the Northwest, called in a summit, a digital summit, who attended as a specimen, and the questions were asked. And fortunately for us, we had started doing something with Akanati presented as a few slides on Maka Planning. And we were sharing the view and the idea which we want to go about. And having listened to that, she then instructed the Department of COPTA to then spearhead that process to make sure that infrastructure rolled out as quickly as possible. We then further to that attended a building committee called by the Agriculture Department in the Northwest to try and zoom into the need and begin to interrogate what is going to happen as opposed to what has happened. To an extent, if you go to one town, it's Nale, Freiberg. Freiberg, I'm told, in those engagements, there is someone coming up. And they say you need 100 MVA, that is now from an engineering point of view. But when I studied the situation, what was brought to us, I realized that we can do 35 MVA. That is exactly the reason we are embarking on this exercise. If we are funding, it's not because we don't want to fund, but we want to make sure that the need, it is not exaggerated. But in this case, 100 MVA was exaggerated, and we had to talk to that then and then. And the need was looked into, and it came down to 25 MTA. Now, that is just one example. If you look into the other one, there was also another issue that was found. Thunderstorm. Yes, it was Thunderstorm. Thunderstorm, the issue was put there to say, maybe it should have benefited from Adam, it should have benefited from Bulk, but then, speaking to Thunderstorm only, I then said, can we consider the tariff issue? Is that tariff correct? Now, it went back on the change, the fact that the municipality does not have the municipality does not have capacity to do that analysis with regards to the state of electricity. And we said, go to ESCOM. Maybe the rural flat tariff that you are on is not suitable for you to run business as a municipality. Maybe you need having flat, or you need something else, a different kind. Now, when you shall do that, make sure we assist you and you are accompanied by other NERSA. so that you are given good guidance and a good advice. Then your life is going to change over your talent, because it is the talent that is killing the operation of the municipality. If you are doing less collection and you are paying more, so you end up in the red. To Eskom, you end up in the red. So the talent is an issue. Not that the town cannot do. Now that is the situation, Honorable Chair. What we do, is it good for us to take other money and put it in there? No, because there is something that can still be done. So which towns have got networks that are collapsing? Which towns that have got networks that can do? We can close down tomorrow. Then I think that was the idea that I was thinking, why we went Adam, why we went back to the towns we went to this year, not that we did not consider them, and also why bulk allocations were done to other towns. What the result of the focusing that we do in engineering, not in finance only, we focus consumption and determine certain things and put up a picture with assumptions to say it might be the issue, the picture going forward. And given those exercises, we find out that with the Northwest bulk, we are covered. We must just do link lines to certain villages. Now, when you have to do link lines, there is AID, there is tribal authority issues that are now further delaying the process. Now, there is also that we must say, in fact, between our councillors in the area and the chief, these are delays. If now there is capacity in the Northwest, one would say, what is the to fight? But then these are the issues we are beginning to talk to. To say, but in the light of this, we need to resolve these impasses and move forward. Now, Northwest might not have been allocated money if we have to talk to the political now. But that does not mean there is nothing going on. There is plans which cannot be truly realized this year, next year, because of certain issues. There is plans that will roll out that we still need to continue with, but we can't because again of the impasses. So, specifically, Northwest, we even have sessions now that are planned for district, for options, to talk to specific district needs, but zooming into the municipal needs, and make sure we come up with a report. That forms part of the master plan that we are doing. So that is the extent to which we are doing things. Now our food will collapse, please, stay home. Another service, you're not going anywhere. Finish this exercise rather, and I'm running. So this is the only week I'm out of focus because I'm here today. But this is the kind, the nature, the set of work that we are busy with. If we have not done it in the past, we are beginning to do things better in the department. And it's just a matter of time, and we'll take out of shape of the issue. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, with that, I think we
We will have them back with all the other departments to come and explain and what's the strategy to work in, where the money comes from. Now, because, you see, my understanding of energy is that they are just the distributors. They receive money, they distribute, but there's other agencies and departments that also need to put money to them. But I will allow you to know the
Thank you for this question. You see, if I can try to go to Limpopo now, using my small car that is in the case now. I will spend the whole week traveling on the road, and I will never come back to my next meeting. So, now the department, if they can go to our rural areas and try and approach the traditional leader. The traditional leader don't even know that they don't know how they've allocated their budget. I've been saying, we have House of Traditional Leaders, we have contractors. And in the House of Traditional Leaders nationally, there are representatives of the provinces. And then they will take the information to the chairperson of the traditional leaders in the provinces, office, they will do that with the regional representatives. And in a day time, the very particular traditional leader will be receiving the information that he will be having these people who want to do this for the year. But then now, if they can just say no, we'll have these meetings and meetings with delay. Well, if they choose that road, will be delayed. They will be delayed. But if they can talk to the top structure, like our president, they will do. He is not looking to the people by himself. He is using members of parliament through the constituency. And it's very easy. So if people will keep on complaining about the traditional leaders, no, these people are very wrong. And the traditional leaders are being elected by God, and they know. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I align myself with the Honourable Member who said what he said about coming to Northwest, Chair. I am happy that each department can reach out of the office. When we were there for the four districts, means something will happen, but I'm going to monitor that. That has happened to me. I've always checked whatever we have said, it is happening somewhere. Nothing go out of the office, get a consultant, a permanent, monitor and recognition to be done. Thank you so much.
It didn't see the Jonathan with the Department of Prevention. Now they are doing with the leaders. They even have the representation in all the offices of the traditional leaders, like where I come from. We have a representative from the Department of Prevention. And their work is very smooth. They will never come here and complain about the traditional leaders. They'll never do that. Maybe they should go and talk to them. Thanks.
It seems that you have found the system.
Yes, person, thank you very much. We would follow Casey and others go to a WIC meeting now, and we just want to thank you and the department for the very valuable contribution. And I believe that we can keep this boundary improvement with us busy on the ground in our government. Thank you very much.
Let me say this before you go. It is now 10 to 1. I think, Doctor, with the outstanding answers, colleagues, can the doctor bring in on the 8th of October?
Yeah.
Let's make that rule. Doctor, on our side, we want to thank you very much for the fruitful engagement. As we have always said, this committee can be robust and all that, but it's all done to move forward because, as you know, we are all from Bonn, and most of the provinces, except Honorable Abrams and myself and Honorable Kamen, also rural boy, except Honorable Abrams and myself, we're not rural sovereign, Colorado Park is not a rural area. Trinidad is not a rural area, but we want to thank you very much for the deliberation, members, also for yourself. Remember, the 8th of October, we will have a full day, a concert of the parliamentary program. There is no can the GA conferences stop with this? There is no parliamentary sitting on the afternoon, maybe the whoops. But if there's any change, please inform us, the whoopery, Honorable KJ, the sisterhood, Honorable Tihari, and Honorable KJ, and the GA caucus here. Is the sisterhood is present to me. It's not to the case in the traditional leaders. And Honorable Kekesi, if there's any changes in the program, please inform us, let us know beforehand. But we booked the 8th of October for a full day with the department and all the other agencies of it. And we want to wish you well, members. There is a joint sitting this afternoon. And remember, members, the Spain report. For those that went, except Honorable Piquesi and Honorable Van Lingen, those that went to Spain, please, your inputs in the report is vital because we want to finalize the report to have an ATC at the next term. Please, Honorable Abrams.
Thank you, sir. You said whatever
happens
to Spain,
you might. Well, your inputs on the report, the private affairs that in Spain. The work of men must come to Parliament. Otherwise, I don't want to go to the airport. Please, members. Members, with that, there is a meeting tomorrow. I think we've got 1 at 10 o'clock. And I'm not sure the afternoon one will be closed. The train I book has been called. In the morning. Okay. So remember, there is, what time is that, 10 or 9? 10. Okay.
Okay, we try to get for 9 o'clock here. We're still waiting on this.
Let me speak in your mic, please.
This is very important. We try to get a 9 o'clock stop. Okay. We're still waiting on approval on this. And I think it's late. All right.
Members, please.